Brian, the reason we wanted to talk to you again today, you've been on the program many times, always so informative. There's a bunch of things, just always, always something happening at the Biggs Museum in Dover. I want to talk to you about the QR code tours and family guides. What is this all about?
Well, partly this was a response to COVID. We wanted to be able to be open, and we wanted people to feel that they could come in and sort of walk around at their own pace. But then we also wanted them to also feel like they would have this kind of personalized, kind of interactive experience with the museum as well, because we were working with a skeleton staff, and we didn't want to, you know, put anybody in the room with you, but we wanted the room to be there and to be even more informative than it was otherwise. So it was just another way to sort of layer on extra interpretation within the museum. So we created four different QR coded tours through the museum. And so if, for those of you that don't know, like a QR code is basically just a very unique little symbol that you assign to an object, and you can use your smartphone, the camera from your smartphone, you just hover it over the QR code, and all of a sudden extra information comes up about that object. And each QR code that you hit in the gallery is completely unique to that object. So you're kind of like building your own personalized tour through the museum.
Now, I guess you have to have a cell phone to use these QR codes, right?
You do, or an iPad or some other kind of smart device, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. I want to talk about all the great children's programs that you have coming up. And we're kind of segueing into that because part of the QR code tour and family guide thing is to better serve your younger visitors. The Biggs has announced a family guide booklet to accompany each new exhibition. So I guess talk about that booklet first and then all the other children's programs coming up.
The booklet was something that we were playing with before COVID, but really came into full swing in a bigger, much more professional way when COVID hit. And again, it's a way to inspire people to come walk through the museum to see these things that are on view, but to see them fresh for the first time, to sort of come back and sort of learn new things and experience new sort of experiences with those objects. And the guidebook, it's available right at the front desk. It's free. You grab it, and it is basically sort of like a listing, like a sort of an intensive list of activities that you can do with your family as you go through the galleries. And sometimes it involves a little bit of like, you know, like recreating objects in drawings, or sometimes it has to do with sort of word, finding words within, like hidden within sort of presentations. And it's just kind of how to, it's basically just a way to sort of charge people to look more deeply, basically, at the objects around them.
I gotcha. All right. So moving on, the museum will be hosting 4 week-long sessions of Art Venture Summer Camps. What is this?
So, again, this is something that we would normally have offered every summer. We had to cancel them last year, of course, but these are small group camp exercises within the museum. They're week long. They're for each of the 4 weeks is designed for slightly different age groups and slightly different themes, basically. But they're all derived from the permanent collection here at the museum and things that we're doing in terms of future exhibitions. So they're all there are lessons. There are lots and lots of sort of indoor and outdoor activities associated with the lessons. But a lot of it is just kind of art making time. And, you know, we're just playing to our strengths here at the museum and putting paintbrushes and clay and exploding paintballs, if I remember correctly.
Alrighty then.
The kids who really need them. Yeah.
Remind me not to be around when that happens. Okay. Sounds like a lot
of
fun, though.
I'll send you a video.
Thank you so much. Hey, so before we get to the big thing, and I think you know what I'm talking about, the big thing here, I want you to talk about how the museum will once again partner with the Dover Public Library in order to host a series of free read and make events. What is this, Ryan?
Again, this is a wonderful sort of activity that we are bringing back to the museum. I mean, the big theme that sort of is being revealed here, Kelly, is that we have not only are we back as an institution. Not only have we been open for people's visitation, but now we're back for live entertainments as well. So the public are engaging with the staff again. We're doing sort of live presentations both within the galleries and outside the galleries. And the Read and Make is a revival of a project that we've been doing for a few years now, where we where kids are connected between the library, which is about a block away, and the Biggs Museum. So you start off with a sort of reading exercise, some kind of like public story time, some kind of public presentation of some sort of story narrative. And then you come over to the museum and you actually exercise those narratives using some kind of artistic practice.
Ryan, would you say that last year's pandemic has helped the museum to become busier than ever?
Helped is a strong word, more like forced us. No, I'm just joking. It's helped us to sort of to broaden our audiences. So we have been really, really active, of course, with local audiences for years, and we've had a lot of success and a lot of just wonderful experiences with people that are, you know, basically our neighbors. And now, because we've had to push so much into a digital realm, so much of the stuff that we're really well known for, we've created sort of digital content from that. And now we are attracting audiences that are outside of it. And the big challenge now is how to do both going forward. How do we come back and revive the projects that we're really well known for? But how do we also create a digital component so that people can participate both ways? And so far we've been doing, I think, to pat ourselves on the back, but I feel like we've been doing a real bang-up job of it. So, two different ways to sort of connect with us.
No, you guys definitely get to pat yourselves on the back after last year. All right, so the big news. Specifically wanted to talk to you today about the return of Dover Comic-Con. Give me all the details.
So I talked with our partners with the Comic-Con, and I've gotten confirmation that it is actually happening. It's going to take place August 14th from 10 to 4, and it will be right here in front of the museum, sort of between the museum and the library, down Lockerman Street, across Federal Street again, and it's promising to be just as big as ever.
Dover Comic-Con, I mean, it always draws a large crowd. Had to be canceled last year, right, because of COVID.
Absolutely, because it attracted such large crowds. I believe the largest that we've attracted so far was over 10,000 people. At one point, it was the largest free Comic-Con in the country.
Explain Dover Comic-Con for people that are not familiar. What kind of crowd does it draw? What is it all about?
At its core, it's a celebration of all things comic-related, so paper comic-related. The costumes, the narratives, the storylines, the whole paper magazine format, but it's so much bigger than that. So you start to see reenactors, you start to see actual live actors of some of the films that had been produced in the past based upon like DC Comics and other things of that nature. We had a guy that would show up with a recreated Batmobile. And then the artists, there's just so many artists, people that are creating their own original comics, their own original comic artwork, their own original publications. There are dealers of comic materials out front. And ultimately, it is kind of like a pop art meets literary conference. So this is, you know, this is the new literary genre. This is the new literary format of comic art. The graphic novel, and it's just sort of an exploration of all those things, of all those themes based around the graphic novel.
This is going to be so much fun. Okay, so now you and I need to put our heads together and decide what kind of costume I'll be wearing to Dover Comic-Con on August the 14th. What do you think suits me, Ryan?
You are so smart to remind me of this, because I'm sort of overlooking the biggest, most important thing, is that the 10,000 people that show up, they're all completely dressed in comic-related costuming. It's the biggest costume party in the entire world. It's insane. And, I mean, you have individuals that are dressed from, like, Luke Skywalker from Star Wars to manga characters to Pac-Man was running around one year. Like, it's just all over the place. And it's terrific. And the thing that I'm really sort of emboldened by is that it's this just love fest of all kinds of art activities, which, you know, from a museum standpoint, I'm totally into it. But the major people that are involved with it are families. So, like, you have parents with young kids, you have high school age kids. It's a really safe environment. Everybody's running around and having a great time. There's lots of good food. And it's just, and they're reveling in these art forms in every way that they feel that they can sort of express themselves. It can't be better.
Yeah, and I think after last year, everybody being cooped up, you know, more and more families need to get out and enjoy time and spend time together. So what better way to do it than Dover Comic Con?
You're totally right.
Hey, all right. So with all of this happening, I want to end with the fact that the museum has not lost sight of its mission to support art education. The Biggs is inviting K-12 teachers of all subjects, educators and homeschool leaders across Delaware to join its Adopt an Artwork program for the 2021-2022 school year. Talk about that briefly.
So this is a way that that teachers will have like a pipeline basically into the permanent collection of the museum. We create large graphics of specific really popular objects here within the museum. The teachers sign up for those particular objects, and then the objects become a center point for understanding art history, basically, from a certain time period. So it can be anything here from, you know, a chair from a local house here in the big here within Dover from about 1740. And what is that, you know, what is everything significant? The teacher with the students peel away all the layers of meaning within that object, having to do with craftsmanship and having to do with natural resources and having to do with the history of design and anything else that you can think of. But it's any wide range of things. So there's true of Impressionist paintings, and it's true of like mid-1800s sand art from Ohio. And it's a table that was created by a freed African-American enslaved person from Sussex County around 1900. And it just, the list goes on and on and on of all these really wonderful sets of stories. So the teachers get this object, the depiction of this object for the classroom, and then we start loading them up with all sorts of information. And then they start to, those students and the teachers start handing back their information, the research that they come up with, back to the museum so that we can share it with larger and larger audiences. And it's just this really terrific interactive experience.
We are definitely returning to some normalcy. Thank you, thank you, thank you to Ryan Grover.
Thank you for having me and giving me this opportunity to talk to brag about everything that we're doing.
Hey, you deserve the right to brag after last year. Everybody deserves the right to brag this year.
I hope so. I hope so.